chapter 6. We're going to read verses 1 to 8. Hear God's word. It was in the year King Uzziah died that I saw the Lord. He was sitting on a lofty throne, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Attending him were mighty seraphim, each having six wings. With two wings they covered their faces, with two they covered their feet, and with two they flew. They were calling out to each other, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of heaven's armies. The whole earth is filled with his glory." Their voices shook the temple to its foundations, and the entire building was filled with smoke. Then I said, "It's all over. I'm doomed, for I am a sinful man. I have filthy lips. I live among a people with filthy lips. Yet I have seen the King, the Lord of heaven's armies." Then one of the seraphim flew to me with a burning coal he had taken from the altar with a pair of tongs. He touched my lips with it and said, "See, this coal has touched your lips. Now your guilt is removed and your sins are forgiven." Then I heard the Lord asking, "Whom should I send as a messenger to this people? Who will go for us?" I said, "Here am I. Send me." Well, through the service, we've had this focus on the holy God. Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty. It always brings me back to that hymn, to the scripture text that we have here, and these angels singing in the presence of God. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of heaven's army, the Lord Almighty. The whole earth is full of the glory of God. It's weird. Isn't it strange that word holy that we use of God has become a word that's got such other than lofty images in the minds of many people in our day and our time? Don't be so holy. You know, don't be a do-gooder, a holy one, or stuff like that. But the word holy, what does it mean really and truly? It just means simply set apart, different than, other than. And when you think of it like that, when you think of the word holy as being different than or other than or set apart, I mean, you can see that when you would refer to God, it certainly, truly belongs to God. When you think of it in that way, God is other than us. God is different than us. God is set apart from us, not only in his intelligence and in his power, but most of all his character, the very core, the very essence of his being. God is different than, God is other than us. God is holy. Now, I know the image may not be a pleasant one, but I'm going to draw it for you nonetheless. You know, picture somebody that's in the advanced stages of dying from the ravages of cancer. And I have visited, maybe you have, and you know people in your family that have had that. And they're close to death, and you can tell as you look at them. I mean, they're not the person they used to be. They're sick. It's in their appearance. It's in their very being. There's fatigue. There's weakness. You look at them and you know this is not health. This is not healthy. Now, I want you to contrast that picture with someone who you know who is fit and well, vigorous and healthy. And you can see that the difference is like night and day. And so it is between God and each one of us. And that's exactly why that difference between someone alive and someone dead, that's why Isaiah utters those words, "Woe to me. I'm not among the healthy. I'm among the sick. I've got these unclean lips, and I live among a people who are like that as well." Isaiah gets a full front-on view of the otherness, the difference than, the set-apartness of God, and he says, "I'm ruined. I'm ruined." It's like there's no hope. He's completely undone by it. It's not like he says, "Oh, big guy in the sky, help me." You know? No, he's just, "I'm finished." Now, God's love for us And you need to hear me when I walk through this next part, okay? Because God's love for us, it's like a consuming fire. The two go together. I mean, God burns away. God's heart is to purify. This is what he did for Isaiah. It's what he wants to do for us. Everything that is ruined and unholy in our lives, he comes to us and he makes atonement for it. We're forgiven. Now, we hear that word wrath used about God, you know, and there's this image of God just, you know, when you mess up, when you blow it, and all, that God just gets like he gets angry. Well, there is truly something that needs to be acknowledged, that the wrath of God is a true and real thing, but we've got these rather sick pictures in our mind of some kind of infantile God lashing out in some kind of crazed rage. That's not what the wrath of God is about at all. Not in the least. The wrath of God is real, but we must never think of the wrath of God as being separated from the love of God. What the wrath of God is, the wrath of God is God's consistent, persistent opposition to everything that is unholy, that's impure, that's unhealthy. God is opposed in every way to everything that would destroy us, that's destructive, within our own lives and within the whole of his creation. You can never talk about the wrath of God without understanding that it's rooted, it's anchored, it's established, its foundation is really the love of God. The wrath of God, you can never see it apart from seeing that God is wise and gracious and good and loving. God hates anything. God hates everything that spoils, that defaces, that destroys, that distorts, that damages our lives, his creation. Now, you maybe say, well, what's that all about? Well, okay. Again, I don't want to draw you the picture, but I'm going to think of the vileness of child abuse. God hates that with a holy hatred. Friday night at Redeemer, harking back to that unholy murder of Tim Bosma a year ago. God hates that with a holy hatred. Think of prejudice and discrimination. You know, what God is raising up a people from all the nations of the earth, and if we would, you know, discriminate racially or ethnically, God hates that with a holy hatred. God is holy. You can't get away from that. God's committed in his holiness to heal, to bring beauty and harmony out of everything that is unholy in his creation. God's holiness is such that he is going to root out, he's going to remove everything, everyone, yes, everyone, who exploits, who abuses, who maims, who disfigures his creation. It's in his holy love that God comes to heal and to restore. And when God comes like that, he comes calling. And this is the power of what you see in that last part of the scripture text in Isaiah, that God comes with the invitation to us to be cleansed of all the disfigurement, all of the ruin of our created lives. And Jesus is the one who is the gift of God to provide that atonement, to remove that guilt, to take away our sin and our shame. Jesus is like that live. He is not like that. He is the live coal, as it were, that is applied to our lives, that heals us and then raises us up from the sickness of death to the vigor of a new life, the gift of becoming the person. This is the love of God for us, that we would become the person that God created us to be. That's the invitation that comes. And we embrace that invitation, and then the call of God comes. It's a call to action. Whom shall I send? Who is going to go for us? This is the call of the Trinity. And as God's new people, cleansed and purified and made holy through Christ and Christ alone, we're called by God now to be the agents of his new life, to be the difference makers of healing in his creation. Matt McKenna, who has been the interim worship leader at 9 a.m. and is going to become the worship leader at 9 a.m. in September. He's just released his first, along with his partner in Ash and Bloom, James Blumenthal, their first full-length album, Let the Storm Come. Think of the storms of life. Do you think you could pray a prayer like that? Let the storm come. It's worth buying that album, believe me, or now that I'm all iTunes connected, that's how I got it anyway. But you know that the words of that song, the title track, they speak of receiving the difficulties and the challenges of life as a way and a means to become a better person. I spent some time yesterday with George Wilkinson in our congregation. He just had his hip replaced last Tuesday. He came home on Friday, and it was just marvelous. You know, he has been in such anguish and agony. He has gone further and longer than anyone in that condition, and the doctors say he's a marvel. But he's embraced all of that as a way and a means to become more of the person that God created him to be. And that's what's in Matt's song. And you know, when I've been listening to that song, it reminds me of another song that comes from the founder of the Salvation Army, General William Booth, Send the Fire. You know, thinking of God's love for us being like a consuming and a purifying fire. Who wants that to come to their life? But listen to these words. It's the fire we want. For fire we plead. Send the fire. Then fire will meet our every need. Send the fire today, for strength to always do what's right, for grace to conquer in the fight, for power to walk the world in white. Send the fire today. Send the fire today. You know, in just a moment, we're going to be singing Refiner's Fire, and that's written by a Canadian from the Lower Mainland in Vancouver, in British Columbia, Brian Dirksen. I wonder if we could have the words on the screen to it, because I've asked Paul just to sing this through for us as a solo, and then I'm going to come back and speak for a moment or two. Just listen as he sings.
Purify my heart, let me be as gold and precious silver. Purify my heart, let me be as gold, pure gold, refiner's fire. My heart's one desire is to be holy, set apart for you, Lord. I choose to be holy, set apart for you, my Master, ready to do your will.
Over the last number of months through this year, even in the latter part of last year, our church family, through all of that, has been in the midst of making some major decisions that really are going to chart a new way forward for us to be God's set-apart people here in this community and the other communities that we come from. And what we've been hard at work doing is making choices and being intentional about choosing to be set apart to do the will of God, to align our hearts and our lives with God's will. And one of the wonderful new things that we're going to have here is that Lisa Proctor is going to be starting on the 1st of July. She's been working with us in other capacities for the last 6 or 7 years, but on the 1st of July, moving to being our, children and family ministry director. And Brenda made the announcement about Matt and Susan coming on staff to be our worship leader, associate worship leader at the 9 a.m. service. So of course, we have Paul, you know, grateful to God, really, to have Paul at our 11 o'clock service. And very shortly, it'll be imminently, we're going to be able to announce the hiring, essentially full-time, of a new youth and young adult ministry director here. But you know, I have to tell you, this set-apartness to do the will of God in this community and region, it's not all about the staff. It's about all of us. All of us together, individually, together, the Knox Church family. The heart cry for us needs to be, Lord, purify us, cleanse us, make us holy deep within. You see, God's calling. The Lord's calling us as a church family to go down deep into that place where there's this encounter, purifying and cleansing, renewing encounter with the Lord, where we're healed and made whole, and we need more healing. We walk that journey throughout our lives, but always and always it is then saying to God, the response to God, here am I, send me. Here we are, Lord, send us. And the summertime, over these next 9 Sundays after this one, I think it's a preparing time. It's a readying time for us as a community of faith here. God, to do these deep things in our personal lives and in our life together, so that when the fall comes, we're ready, we're engaged, we're committed to going with a compelling and inviting, a serving love, a holy love that invites, that calls, that beckons others. And there are so many more. And I'm thinking especially of the children and of the youth and of the seniors. You know, I had someone come up to me, and we're going to end in just a moment, but this maybe is my parting shot before I go on holidays. I had someone come up to me just a week or two ago and said, George, are you a senior? And I thought, well, my goodness, who goes around asking a question like that? And I said, well, you have to define for me, what does it mean to be a senior? And she said, 65. And I said, well, no, I'm not. But I'm on the way there. And then she started sharing, and she's not part of our community of faith here, another one here in Waterdown, started sharing with me the burden in the heart that she has for seniors in this community. You know, with all of the expansion of the community, the growth of the community, guess who's going to go invisible in the community? Seniors. So we're committed here in this congregation going forward, hearing this call of God. Hear my heart now, will you please? Saying, children matter to us. Youth matter to us. Young adults matter to us. The parents of those children and teens matter to us. The families matter to us. And the seniors matter to us, because the call of God on our life may not be in every church, but the call of God on this church is to be an intergenerational church, a family that's encountered the Holy God. Purify my heart. Cleanse me deep within. And then use me, use us, to be agents of your healing and transforming love here in this community and area. Let's pray, and then we're going to sing. I almost feel, Lord God, that we need to take our shoes off. I say it with trembling heart and words. There's been this sense of your holy presence here today. moving in all the parts of this service. We come to the end. And hear us as we sing back to you our prayer. It's our prayer, Lord God, that says, here am I. Here we are. Use me. Use us. We pray together in Jesus' name. Amen.
Jan, can you come forward, please? I was sitting on the deck this morning having my coffee and reflecting on some things. And one of the things I was reflecting on is how God invites us to have times of Sabbath. It's important times of Sabbath. God knows we need it. And I just wanted, before George and Jan leave, to offer a prayer on our behalf to you. Just so that you know, George and Jan are tired people, and they need a rest. They need a big rest. And so this congregation is providing them a long-term rest this year. He's supposed to study too, but we just want to pray for them as they go, that God will richly bless them with a time of rest, refreshment, rejuvenation, and that, as he said, when September comes, he and Jan and this congregation are ready to step forward as God has encouraged and challenged us to do that. So would you join me in prayer as we pray for George and Jan? Our loving God and Heavenly Father, we thank you so much that you know who we are deeply, and you know our needs. You know that we need times to set apart for you, for quietness, for rest. We just pray that as George and Jan head off for their time in PEI, that you will give them that time of refreshment, of physical rest, of mental rest, spiritually, that they will be rejuvenated in their spirits through your Holy Spirit. We pray that you will give them safety in their travels, a time of fun with their family as they join them later this summer, and that as they come back, they will know your spirit of going forward into the next step for our congregation. We thank you for them. We thank you for who they are and for who they are, have been to each one of us. And so we pray this blessing upon them that you will undertake for them over the next 6 weeks and give them a time of rest, Sabbath rest in you. We pray these things in the name of our Savior, Jesus Christ, and in the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. You can bless everybody now.
Thank you. Well, with that, I maybe should tell you something I wasn't going to, but I will now. Sunday by Sunday, I believe there's just going to be an extraordinary blessing, gift of God here in the worship of this congregation. I'm really totally thrilled at what's in store for you in the worship as Paul will be leading. There'll be a Sunday during that time. I think it's August 3rd that Matt McKenna will be leading. But those coming to speak, three of those Sundays are going to be with Harv Wilkie, who's a retired pastor, North American Baptist pastor, actually. And one of those Sundays is going to be with Kyle Dorr, who's a new graduate of Knox College, and he's blind. And he's just got the most incredible of testimonies. There's a sweet, sweet spirit about this man. I love and cherish him in the Lord. And then I am tired. I can't think. No. The other, oh, yeah. Sandy Copeland. She was priest in the Anglican Church, now the Presbyterian Church, but she'll be coming, I think it's on the 3rd of August. Next Sunday will be Susan Kerr, who'll be here. All right, stand with me, will you please? Go out into the world to join God in calling people to receive his gift of his healing and forgiving love in Jesus Christ. Breathe deeply of God's breath of life. Take off your shoes and live in awe of God's greatness, his holiness, his goodness, and his grace. And know that you are always and ever in the presence of the holy, loving, and living God. Go in peace. Amen.